Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cold Hard Truth Podcast. I'm Jack Smith.
I'm Shrikar Rajendran.
And I'm Anish Gupta.
And the first kind of wave of NFL free agency is come and gone. Now we're just waiting for some of those other players to sign. But a lot of the main guys have been re-signed or tagged or signed with other teams. So in this episode, we're kind of just going to do a big free agency recap, give our opinion, some winners and some losers. And really the first takeaway for me was there are a lot more losers than there are winners this year, in my opinion. Like when we were trying to think of, you know, who my winner would be or who my loser would be, I was picking between like four or five teams for my losers, and I was struggling to find a real winner in free agency, which I think is kind of the case most years. But you know what, this year there were just a lot of losers based on guys that didn't re-sign them, or they signed bad deals, or they haven't signed anyone else yet. But I'm not going to start this one. I'll let one of you two guys start it. But who's your biggest loser in free agency? It could be a team, it could be a player, it could be a division. Like, just who is your biggest loser in this free agency period so far?
All right, I'll start off. I am genuinely mad, like, at this offseason, and it's going to be the Las Vegas Raiders. And I'm not even a Raiders fan. I'm just mad because both of you know I was pretty high on the Raiders last year. 8-8 isn't, you know, godly levels, but I was pretty high on Derek Carr and this Raiders team, and you trade away four out of five of his O-linemen. This is one of the best offensive lines in the game, and you get rid of Trent Brown. He's on the Patriots. Richie Incognito got cut. Gabe Jackson's on the Seahawks. It's just, Rodney Hudson's on the Cardinals now. Colton Miller is the only starter still on that O-line.
They re-signed Incognito. So three out of five.
All right, great. Incognito's back. But still, that doesn't really change anything for me. I mean, are Colton Miller and Richie Incognito going to save this O-line? Hell no. It's not going to happen. And it's just Derek Carr. I'm sorry, bro, but you're literally going to be running like a chicken with its head cut off. And if you put pressure on Derek Carr, I know this, and I'm higher on Derek Carr than most. He's not going to perform well. He's just not going to succeed. The Raiders just took a large step back right when I was thinking that, you know, they could take that next step. That Chiefs win, it gave me hope, and that hope is just, it's lost now for me because I don't know what direction they're trying to go in. You know, you cut all these O-linemen, you go out and sign Kenyon Drake, a backup running back to Josh Jacobs. Like, whoa, it's, you're running around in circles. You're not getting anywhere. It's just, I don't understand what John Gruden's trying to do. He's still got 7 years left on his contract. I don't know what Mike Mayock's trying to do. It's just, what in the world is going on in Las Vegas? I need some answers because I am pretty mad at what the Raiders are doing this offseason.
I mean, yeah, to kind of go off of that, you don't – like I told Jack last year, you don't rebuild an O-line in a year, and also who the hell tears it apart in 1 year?
I've never a good seen O-line. That. Like,
really, makes no sense.
I mean, this is one of the better O-lines in the NFL, if not, you know, top 10 in my opinion for sure. I've always regarded the Raiders' O-line as very good. And even though Trent Brown – got traded, he didn't have that bad of a year. He was a Pro Bowler in 2019. So, you know, very questionable move. Same thing with Gabe Jackson. I actually really wanted him last year. Same thing with Rodney Hudson, who's a top 3 to 5 center. I'm so confused.
And like a franchise piece of that team. And they almost cut him. And then all they do is they trade him to a third round.
Imagine
pick.
At least they got something out of Rodney Hudson. If you cut him, bro.
Everyone was like, what the hell is going on?
What are you? There's got to be. Look, I don't know what John Gruden and Mayock are thinking. Like, seriously, I'm with you. I really don't. Like, look, you know, I've been watching the football, you know, the NFL for years, and I've never seen something like this. So, hey, maybe they've found a lot of, you know, diamonds in the rough in the past later rounds, and they're trying to develop.
Well, they haven't. We've known that before they drafted. Like,
they suck at drafting too.
Their first round picks haven't done so well. Yeah. So, like, but I think for my biggest loser, and it's a little bit more obvious than most, it's going to be the Chicago Bears. And if you're watching this, I apologize. I apologize for all the Bears fans that are that watch this show, this podcast, because man, it is rough. I mean, look. We've been talking about Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, you know, the whole QB trade rumors, and I've linked both of them to Chicago. I wanted it to happen. I was so fond of the whole narrative of him, of a quarterback finally in Chicago. I mean, they've never had one. I was so, you know, I was believing in it. And then I hear an offer was made. I believe it was 3 firsts and two solid players and a second. So, and then, you know, you get Andy Dalton. Now, look. I actually don't think it's the worst signing in the world. Jack and I just talked about it off air. I think Andy Dalton actually played pretty well for Dallas. If you really look back, I think he had some really good games, especially the Eagles one was a really good one. He had almost 400 yards and 3 touchdowns. But, you know, I'm not saying he's going to, you know, take this team to the playoffs or anything. And I don't even know if he'll be that much better than Trubisky towards the end of the year. But I think it just keeps them kind of stable again in that mediocrity land. But then I see the recent news, right? So obviously Allen Robinson just signed his franchise tag. So that's one good thing. But, you know, and the meeting with Kenny Golladay didn't really go well because he left without a deal. Another thing is they let go of their Pro Bowl corner, Kyle Fuller. Browns, knock on wood, try and pick him up. But had to throw that in there. But no, you know, Kyle Fuller, not really a shocking exit because I did kind of, it was for cap. I believe it was $11 million in cap space because the Bears are kind of in some cap trouble. So they let go of him. Also, Akeem Hicks is another guy that could be on the cutting list pretty soon. They let go of one of their interior defenders. I can't remember his name. It's like
Roy Robertson Harris.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he went to, I believe, the Cardinals, if I'm not mistaken. But I think, you know, with the Chicago Bears, right, like all these moves that they have and, you know, what they've kind of missed out on, I think that kind of lingers with them, right? You know, it's always that what if, what could we have done? You know, because but it's not really their fault, right? Because they did try for Russell Wilson. They were the only team that really offered a formal offer. And I think for the Bears, it's just stuck in mediocrity again. Like, you know, I mean, what's crazy is I think Andy Dalton at least is the most accomplished quarterback that Allen Robinson has ever had.
That's sad.
But
I'm sorry, man.
You know, feel bad for the Bears, not like, you know, and now there are questions that are going to loom, right? Offensive line, how is it, you know, it's never been that good. And is it, you know, how is it going to be with guys like, you know, can Cody Whitehair come back, you know, strong? And then also on the defense, right? Is Jalen Johnson ready to step up and be that number one corner? I don't know. I'm a fan of him, but I don't know. So, you know, I think combined with the questions and also the misses, I think that's what kind of makes them the biggest loser, in my opinion.
And I remember seeing a comment on, I think it was on a meme page. It was pretty funny. It was like, this whole Bears QB situation is like promising your girl, like you'll take her to a 5-star restaurant and then you take her to Carl's Jr. instead. It is like, how do you downgrade that hard? And I didn't see it coming.
They just whiff constantly. I mean, you know, it's like,
it's classic Bears.
I just think it's meant to be. Like, they're just not meant to have a good quarterback.
I don't get it.
But no, those two teams that you guys brought up are two of the teams that I consider too. I mean, the Raiders, what are you doing? Like, where is that decision making coming from? Like, we talked like this offseason about how they were maybe a quarterback away from being a great team, and then their quarterback looks like he could be that quarterback, and they decide, oh, let's just, you know, get rid of his entire O-line and get him nothing in free agency other than a backup running back. And they signed, and not only that, Kenyon Drake was signed for like 2 years, $14 million, when Jamal Williams got like 2 years for $5 million.
And you might also let go of Aguilar too. I
mean, yeah, like, they let their a key piece to their offense that like helped them, you know, grow this year, they let him walk. And I mean, I don't think Jamal Williams is better than Kenyon Drake, but Kenyon Drake isn't great. And who pays $14 million for over 2 years for a backup?
It's definitely an overpay.
I'm sorry, like, no, but okay, look, even if you do run running back by committee, because teams have succeeded with it. Mm-hmm. Those are two guys that don't really work as running back by committee.
They don't
right?
mesh.
Usually you have a fast, elusive guy, and you have a power guy that gets you on first and second. Like, for example, the Browns, how they've run it, right? The Niners with Mostert, Coleman, et cetera. But like,
they
don't gel well, in my opinion.
No,
I could be wrong, but I really just don't see it.
I mean, and I am, you know, maybe a notorious running back position hater, and the Raiders now have a first round pick invested in a running back in a 2 year, $14 million contract invested in a backup running back. And they're getting rid of their offensive linemen for, what is it, cap reasons? Is that like, what are they citing for these reasons? Just they want to have a bad O-line? It makes no sense to me. I mean, with the way that Mayock's been drafting and these terrible moves, I don't understand why he's still there. And, you know, I don't want to call for Gruden to have that, you know, be on the hot seat, but maybe, I mean, he has a part in these moves too.
Oh, he's got a lot of, if you give $100 million to a coach,
yeah,
he has power.
He's going to have authority. Yeah.
I mean, and if these terrible moves keep happening, he should be on the hot seat too. And then, I mean, the Bears, you want to compete with the Packers, and while you still have Khalil Mack, while some of your players are aging. So I guess the logical situation and the logical scenario to improve is to cut one of your top three or top four best defensive players, aim to trade away another one and sign Andy Dalton.
And speaking of the Packers, speaking of the Packers, you know, I don't know about you guys. I can already tell Packers are going to win this division. It's just the Vikings regressed. Lions are going to be the Lions. The Bears are going to be the Bears. It's just no team really improved. I don't think any team got worse.
I think,
but Green Bay's still going to have a hold on
Minnesota, I think, got a little bit.
They really haven't done anything. And there's
if Minnesota improved, though, if Minnesota improved, is that still enough to challenge Bay? I don't think so. It's not enough.
I mean, I think you needed Russell Wilson in that division to challenge Green Bay, but also, like, I mean, even the Vikings now are like aiming to trade away Danielle Hunter, or at least he's thinking about that. He might want to
think about
it,
but I think they're going
to
resign.
I hope they salvage that. But anyways, this is all leading me to getting into my biggest loser. And I did, you know, think about getting those two, but the team I want to raise up is the Cincinnati Bengals, because when it came into it, the Bengals had the most obvious plan for free agency, and they knew what they needed to do, right? Get offensive linemen. Name me an offensive lineman that they've signed so far that's worth
none.
Damn. They didn't get any of the top guys in Trent Williams or Corey Linsley, or I know Brandon Scherff got a franchise tag, but Joe Tooney either. They didn't get any of those guys. And then they decide they're going to let William Jackson and Carl Lawson walk, and so they can sign Trey Hendrickson to an overpay deal and Mike Hilton to, I think, another overpay deal. Both of those corners, I don't think, are better than William Jackson, who they let walk. And Carl Lawson, who went to my New York Jets, who, you know, looking at him now, I'm a big fan of, and who I wanted them to sign this whole time. He's better than Trey Hendrickson. He's getting paid less, and Trey Hendrickson's from outside. Like, why not just keep Carl Lawson? Like, it makes no sense to me.
So they tried to, but I think the Jets might have offered more. You're right.
I would have still tagged him.
Because they gave more to Trey Hendrickson. So
if they were willing to pay Hendrickson, I don't know what he's making.
4 years, 60.
Yeah, like, that's ridiculous. Like, how are you – that's an overpay in itself. I mean,
hey, stay tuned for the next 6 months. Jack's going to think Carl Lawson's the second coming of, like, Von Miller or something.
No, the second coming of Shaq Barrett and Darius Smith. But anyways, like, the Bengals had – there was only one way they could succeed in free agency, and they didn't do that, which makes them obvious losers. And then add on the bad decisions they made letting their own people walk, and then the bad signings they've made on top of those. It just makes no sense to me. And so they were kind of the obvious loser picks to me in free agency.
And in this draft, you got to kill it if you're the Bengals. Yeah. You need to hit on pretty much all of your picks.
This is why I just was on a call with Jared today, and I told him, I said, okay, I think the three options to do at five is – one, you trade up for three to get that real choice of Chase or Sewell, right? Mm-hmm. And I think they should go Sewell if they have that choice. Mm-hmm. Two, at five, you take, again, Chase or Sewell, because they will be available there.
Or Slater.
So the third option would be to trade back, because I think they can trade back and take Slater still. Think about it. Let's say Fields is available at five, or, you know, Lance, like, someone is going to overcompensate and trade up for a quarterback. And why can't the Bengals be that guy who takes a second round pick from another team and, you know, gets Slater in the first round, maybe gets another offensive lineman in the second round, right? So that could be a potential thing to do.
If the Bengals trade back with the Panthers and they can still get Slater there, that's still good.
100%.
Another reason why I had the Bengals as losers is because after Will Fuller signed with the Dolphins, I feel like it's a foregone conclusion now that if they stay at three, they will take Sewell, because I feel like Will Fuller has a lot in common with Devonta Smith. Like, he's faster and they do different things, but they're going to play the same role in that offense. So I think it's like, now they're definitely going to go with tackle at three if they stay. I think they're the obvious trade back candidate in the first round, but it's just another thing that the Bengals
on. I'm just like thinking from the Dolphins' perspective, right? Like, you guys know how much I love Devontae Parker. I mean, like, he's finally going to get like that deep threat with him. So
yeah,
I think now you really don't have, like, Will Fuller. I think people don't understand. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Will Fuller. I think when healthy, he is
and not on steroids.
Top five wide receiver too. So
he's easily one of the best deep threats in the game when healthy.
Yeah, I think he's
his problem, and I mean,
so people need to watch out for that guy. So
just a lot of screw ups in free agency this year. I wasn't even the Patriots, who signed damn near everybody on the market. Yeah. I didn't think they were like big winners, and you can
for a
good amount of their signings, I would consider them losers. Like, I mean, I like Nelson Aguilar, and I like I'm totally forgetting the other receiver they signed.
Kendrick Bourne.
But they're getting paid the amount that you could have just paid one better receiver like Kenny Galladay or Juju or Will Fuller.
Who wouldn't want, like, Kenny Galladay would have loved to play with Belichick. I'm sorry, like, any player would, like, you know, mm-hmm. I don't care and, who it is.
Imagine, like, he would have turned Juju back into the receiver that they had, or like, but why sign those two guys when you can sign one guy from
that's what I was thinking exactly. What I was, and same thing with Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, you don't need both.
No,
and the thing with the Patriots is they've gone in this offseason, they've gone away from the Patriot way, and that's what I do not like about this offseason. That's why I'm kind of neutral.
Here's the thing though. I think with Belichick, like, he's always got a plan up his, in my opinion. Like,
you know what I think his plan
does, but he's going away from what he's used to.
Is it go forth in the division?
It's that he realizes how old he is, and he realizes he's not going to be coaching for very much longer, and he's not going to let this team sit around in mediocrity and become one of the worst teams in the division while he's here. So he's just going to sign everybody.
Like, some of the moves, right? Like, you know, Jonnu Smith has always played this tight end by committee role with Delanie Walker. Right. So I thought, okay, if they sign him, fine, he's finally going to be a tight end one, really get his role. Then you go and sign Hunter Henry, another guy who had to play with Gates, right, from a lot of his career.
I mean, I don't think either of them deserve to be the third pay tight end in the league. And now they're paying both of them like that.
And see, that's the thing. I was originally like, I think these guys know, I was high on the Jonnu Smith signing. I was arguing that it was good. But, you know, once they got Hunter Henry, I was like, hold on, what are you trying to do? Like, how can they both be like the third paid, highest paid tight end?
Paying the tight end $10 million annually. Come on now, what are you
doing? Like, Jonnu Smith's contract, you know, I was originally iffy on, but now when you bring Hunter Henry into the mix, it makes it look so much worse. And I mean, I know they're trying to run these two tight end sets again, like they did with Gronk and Aaron Hernandez, but it's, do I see it working with Jonnu and Hunter Henry? No, because I think they're both tight end ones, and it's not going to mesh like that because they have no clear cut tight end two there.
Well, and Cam Newton isn't Tom Brady, but like, I would have been much higher on it if they took the money that they, you know, spent signing Kendrick Bourne, Nelson Agholor, Jonnu Smith, and Hunter Henry long term into signing a Kenny Galladay or Juju Smith-Schuster or Will Fuller or Corey Davis, and then one of those tight ends. Like, I would have loved that. That would have been a great offseason.
I would have loved
Kyle Van Noy and David Andrews, who they recently got back.
Those are good.
Putting the tender on JC Jackson. That's perfect. That would be a perfect offseason. But they signed too many guys. We didn't mention Matt Judon either, who I think is a little bit overrated.
A little bit overpaid. I thought he was
overpaid and a little bit overrated.
I always thought Matt Judon wouldn't succeed outside the Ravens system, so I think he needs like a blitz heavy like scheme. So I don't know if it's going to really work out with the Pats, but
they've shown they can do that before. I mean, I remember watching do you remember watching the Sam Darnold I'm seeing ghost game? I swear they threw eight guys at him every play.
Oh, I remember it. I know, like, you remember it too.
I've watched that game and like I've watched it many times.
Yeah, but I mean, I think he can succeed there, but I still think he got a little bit overpaid. I don't think he was maybe he was their edge choice on the market for kind of the guy they wanted, but I don't know. Looking at it, they did sign a lot of guys where like their roster will be better. I feel like at a point it was a little bit too much, and there was definitely spots where you look and it's like that was unnecessary and you could have improved.
I mean, I'm really interested to see what they do at 15, because you give Cam Newton $14 million. That's not backup money. So I'm really interested to see what they do.
I don't think they signed all these guys to go in there with. I mean, in my opinion, like I know I'm not a big Cam Newton fan, but none of this matters if Cam Newton is your quarterback, in my opinion. You're not getting anything done with Cam Newton.
Like, again, I still think you're missed. Like, you know,
are they going to win a Super Bowl with Cam Newton? Tell me that with this roster.
No one's saying Super Bowl.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves, man.
If you're in the NFL,
if you get the Cam pre-COVID, if we get those, you know, it was a 3-game sample size fair, but you know, that those 3 games were, I thought they played really well in those games. And I think they can make a playoff push if we get that Cam back.
But what's the point of making a playoff push if you don't think that you can win a Super Bowl with what you have?
So the Patriots aren't obviously going to make the Super Bowl this year. Unless Belichick has something.
Cam Newton has potential to grow.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think he could be that bridge, right? So it's a 1-year deal.
Bridge for Mac Jones. That would be nice.
For a year, right? Maybe you do that. I have no clue. I mean, this is, you know, there's so many. So, but like, you know, that's where I kind of was saying with the Cardinals too, right? There are just so many teams that back in the Cardinals episode, there are just so many teams that can make that jump. It's just, you know, any team can do it. It's just really some that you don't expect. So it's really going to be interesting to see, because like you said, there are a lot of teams that kind of regressed in free agency. And, you know, but hey, even despite a regression in free agency, draft could help. You can still go up that way. Quarterbacks develop. It's a lot of stuff that can happen. We're still not even through March. Usually, in fact, I think free agency started earlier this year.
It just started,
last year it just started. So
yeah, last year we were blessed too by like the DeAndre Hopkins trade and the Brady news.
We had content, man. We had loads of content.
We did a series. We graded every team. That thing took
forever.
Like 8 hours. Yeah, total.
We're not doing that again.
This year you guys get one episode or two. You guys will get a second one after some more big signings, and we'll see if Deshaun Watson gets traded. But anyways, I feel like that was enough negativity for this episode. I feel like our listeners got all of the negativity they probably need. Who did you like this free agency? Let's get into some of our winners. Signings you liked, teams you liked. Srikar, who's your biggest winner?
Obvious pick here, but the Bucks. You're running it back with Tom Brady and the gang. They're all coming back. They want another chip. Brady wants number 8. 8 rings? I'm just thinking about that. This dude might have 8 rings.
That's a lot of fingers.
Oh my goodness. That is an insane number to think about. But you bring back Shaq Barrett, the GOAT, Ryan Succop, he's back. You bring back AB's going to be back.
Gronk got back.
Gronk is coming back. I mean, they didn't make any splash moves like outside of their own team. And that's what I like about this offseason. They are confident in this team. They're confident they can do it again. And the organization, this team, they got to be the favorites in the NFC. I mean, I can't really think of anyone else who could take that one spot from them. So, I mean, it was a great offseason for the Bucks. It was exactly what I thought it would be. And in that sense, it made a lot of sense for the Bucks to keep their own guys. And, you know, in the draft, who knows what they can do in the draft? They can go with best player available. I really like Christian Barmore on this team because Ndamukong Suh, he could be Christian Barmore would be a nice replacement for him, but you could go with, I mean, the Bucks have no clear like gaping holes as of right now. And they were able to get all their guys back. And that's what I really love about this offseason.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Bucks are huge winners here because you keep the guys that you need. And I'm just let me put it in perspective, right? Like Antoine Winfield, Devin White, Jamel Dean, Carlton Davis, Tahir Whitehead, or however you say his
Jordan Whitehead.
All of them are below 25. I mean, like these guys are all so young. And Shaq Barrett and Lavonte David, they came back on a little bit cheaper deals because they are invested in a culture here. And it's the Brady effect. It's the greatest athlete in American sports effect. It's just so cool to see how, you know, he's able to keep this team together. And the Bucks are literally like top tier of the NFL after being known as the Succoneers for most of the 80s, 90s, and even a little bit of the 2010s. I mean, it's just so crazy to see how an NFL team can, you know, skyrocket like that. And I agree with you. They are the favorites in the NFC. I'm not picking against Brady. There weren't really many teams in free agency. I was going to, you know, maybe mention the Dolphins and getting Will Fuller. I thought that was a very underrated move. And I think they're at least getting options for Tua to kind of flourish. With those two first round picks, it leaves a lot of room now to get Sewell and maybe a Najee Harris. I don't even know if they need a running back. I think they should give Gaskin more investment. But so the Dolphins were a potential thing. But I'm actually going to say a winner is Russell Wilson. Because for Seattle, right? Now, they told him, they said, okay, we're going to, you know, they told him we're going to finally start investing in you because they trade for Gabe Jackson. And they signed Gerald Everett, right? So those are two guys on offense. At least it's showing you that they're trying to invest in the team. And I think Gerald Everett is a big upgrade over a very old Greg Olsen, right? So Everett had 41 catches last year. And I know Srikar's laughing because I'm not the biggest fan of him because of Madden. But
Ashwath, if you're watching this.
So he had 41 catches last year. I mean, as much as I don't, you know, I get annoyed with him scoring on me and Madden. I just, you know, he's a good signing, good upgrade for them. And then also again, Gabe Jackson is a good offensive guard. And I think they're starting to invest in that. And I wouldn't be surprised if they actually make a little bit of a splash in the draft, because I think they're telling, you know, Carroll is finally saying, okay, I think we've, you know, had enough of the media slander for a few weeks. So let's actually help our quarterback out. And I think Russell Wilson is a big winner here. I mean, you know, not many. Jack's going to touch on the guys that I don't want to talk about, but like, you know, I would say, you know, even Carolina a little bit, getting Denzel Perryman was a pretty good move. Son Reddick. I'm just kind of going through the guys that I thought were really good. Anything that I thought was, you know, so, you know, I was talking about with Jack. There were teams that I've noticed in the last few years that made splashes and really moved themselves up, or at least I thought they would. For example, 2017 Saxonville, they got Calais Campbell, Malik Jackson, AJ Boye. I mean, all these guys on defense, and just their defense flourished in the first year, right? 2015 Broncos, DeMarcus Ware, huge pickup. I mean, like huge impact. Chris Harris, I think they got that year as well. Like, you know, just huge impacts. And the 2018 Rams, you know, the guys that they got, Corey Littleton, all these guys, LaMarcus Joyner, I think, I don't know if they picked him up, but, you know, just guys that they went after in free agency that year. I think they brought Michael Brockers from other team, but, you know, just guys that they, you know, going after in free agency, not really happened this year. It hasn't been a team that's done that. So, you know, interesting to see what happens later on with trades. Cause again, there's still one, in my opinion, the biggest trade piece in NFL history is still available, right? And Deshaun Watson. So I think that's going to be interesting to see. But yeah, I would say the Dolphins, in terms of overall team, I thought they made some good moves. And then I'd say Russell Wilson.
No, it's funny you mentioned Michael Brockers. And I know I said negativity was done for the episode, but he's one of the biggest losers in this period too. I mean, he came out after the Matt Stafford trade. He's thinking, you know, Jared Goff's not on my team anymore. I got Matthew Stafford now, got to represent. Matthew Stafford, he's, you know, he's a big level up over Jared Goff. So you know what the Rams do?
Yeah,
they go ship him to Detroit for a seventh round pick.
He had a captain patch and he got traded for a seventh round pick. And I just want to also give a look. Okay, before, look, I know the quote said that Jared Goff is not as good, but he did also say that, you know, Goff was clutch for us and he played in big moment, even though that's not really true.
Yeah, it's way to save himself right there.
Yeah, so he did kind of give some, I'm adding some context to the quote to kind of save Brockers. If you're watching this, I got you, bro. But like,
just imagine how awkward that's going to be though.
Cause bro, Michael Brockers is going to walk into the facility and the first thing he's going to see Jared Goff. He's just going to be standing there just staring him down. And it's going to be so funny.
The media's going to contort it, right? I'm sure Jared Goff didn't really hear the mess. I mean, Michael Brockers, he's left the Rams. He's gone. But now, you know, media contorted it, and he's not going to really know what I just said. So, like,
I don't think Jared took it too hard. I don't think
– I doubt it. It's just funny. I mean, it's just
pretty ironic.
It would be kind of funny if that was the punishment from the Rams. It's like, fine, go play with Jared Goff again then. But, you know, the winner I want to touch on as we wrap up the episode – Anish, you're going to be happy. It's the Cleveland Browns, in my opinion, because while the Browns didn't have a lot of holes, I think that they made my favorite signing so far, which is John Johnson. I thought it was a very cheap deal. It was less than the safeties got tagged for, which was already a low amount, filling a safety that they had. And I think the only need that they haven't really been able to fill is linebacker.
But
I really believe they'll fill that in the draft with either JOK out of Notre Dame or Zaven Collins, or they're going to fill that need, in my opinion. They also signed, I believe, Troy Hill earlier today, who was a breakout star for the Rams. Mm-hmm. The Rams had to choose between him and Darius Williams, both players who I was high on. And
I think they made the right choice.
They made the right choice, but also, like, I mean, Troy Hill hit the mark and he went to the Browns. It's a great signing, in my opinion. Tack McKinley is a very, like, low risk, high reward signing. And he's just another body on the edge. And I think teams like the Browns, they could have tried to go a little bit too far to compete this year and you know, went out and signed guys they didn't need on bad contracts, something like that. Signed a Trey Hendrickson, who we talked about earlier, as an overpay. But they realized that they have guys that can progress, and all they need to do is fill a couple holes.
Yep.
And they still managed to get talent at those places too. So I just feel like they had the smartest offseason with a couple of my favorite moves. And while they didn't sign, like, you know, a lot of guys, I just love the moves that they actually made. So they were a big winner for me. And
Andrew Berry. I want Andrew his Berry. Name to be said. Andrew Berry has been the best thing. I'm sorry. It's been the best thing in the Browns called for the last 10 years. And KS, of course. But my God, I mean, he's a GM that I idolize. Just throwing him out there. I mean, man.
Quick shout. I especially love this John Johnson signing because we've seen this class for safeties. It's not very good. Trevon Moehrig. He's like a third round talent for me. He's definitely not going first or second, at least in my opinion.
Yeah.
Andre Sisco. I mean, I wouldn't want the Browns to get one of those guys. So the John Johnson signing was, you know, rather safe in that regard.
I mean, him and Grant Delpit's going to be a great combo. And you're right.
It's going to be a good duo.
And we have Carl Joseph too. So
yeah. The class here is great.
Sendejo.
Yes.
But no, I actually do have, I have a video coming out soon that I'm working on about like who the best safety in this class is. And yeah. I mean, on our Twitter, I put up a video of Trevon Morey getting absolutely torched by a double move. And I've watched Javon Holland. I don't even think he's a safety. Just the class is overall, it's very disappointing. So being able to go out and get that John Johnson to, you know, play in their scheme, be on the team, and was a very good deal. I thought that was a great move. Sugar, though, I actually want to touch on the Buccaneers, because when I was doing like the best free agent at every position, they had two of them. And I was like, you know, if they don't go to their team, here's where they will go. And I was saying, I'm like, I don't think that they'll be able to bring back all three, Chris Godwin, Lavonte David, and Shaquille Barrett. I'm like, I just don't see a way that it works out. They brought still back all three of those guys and Rob Gronkowski, and I think they will still manage to bring back Antonio Brown. It's like
they will. They're
crazy. Yeah.
And they were already, I think, the best, most complete roster in the NFL. And I'm like, okay, well, that'll create a big hole if one of those guys is gone. And it's like, how do you choose? Because, you know, Lavonte David is almost a legend in Tampa Bay.
I'm telling you, it's so, like, when I told you this too, remember, you were telling me all these cap issues and stuff. For example, the Chiefs actually have like around 20 million cap, like, that they can use. And once they do Travis Kelce's and I think Tyreek Hill's contract, they can even make more. So I'm telling you, Jack, teams, they know what
they're gonna, like, figure out. And the Taysom Hill, did you see that contract?
Yeah,
the,
so it's all voidable.
That's a genius move.
So obviously it's like 4 years, 140. Everyone's gonna just look at that number. But again, like I said, voidable years, they can change roster bonus, signing bonus. There's so many things that, you know, teams can do, which is why salary cap for contenders isn't necessarily a big downside.
Like, and shout out Mickey Loomis is the Saints GM, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Saints have low-key had a really good offseason for what they were dealt with.
That's why I wasn't as like
I'm not going to be harsh on the Saints.
Yeah, I think they're going to take a step back for sure. But they will. The moves that they've made, I thought they've been. Yeah, I want Jameis to.
I want Jameis to start. Yeah.
But no, I mean, the cap, it just seems like the cap is totally fake. Like at this point, like, I mean, teams just find any way to maneuver around it with restructuring.
They're going to make it a little bit stricter.
I think so. But like, I mean, this is the first one of these voidable contracts that we've seen. I think you're going to see a lot more of those. I remember I was watching the Pat McAfee show where he had Travis Kelce on, and he's like, have you seen this new Taysom Hill deal? 4 years, $140 million. And Travis is like just talking. He's like, wait. Tell me those numbers again, because he's like, how is Taysom Hill getting paid that? And he's like, damn, if he classifies himself as a tight end, I'm gonna need some more money too. But then, like, he had no idea with these voidable years even worse. Yep. So just so like, this is completely brand new. I think we're gonna see this a lot more often. So I mean, I guess you could say that that's a winner too, is just teams figuring out how to use the cap. Or I guess you could say that, you know, the NFL cap is a loser.
And keep in mind, like, you know, one thing about the NFL that's a little bit different, right? Like, with the NBA, trends tend to continue. So when Kirk Cousins got his fully guaranteed deal, do you guys remember that?
Yeah,
3 years, 84. It really hasn't. Mm-hmm. There hasn't been another deal like that. So, you know, I thought when I first saw it, I thought, oh my God, this might be a trend coming in. But the NFL has become straight. Like, you know, they are very hardball with money. Like, you know, you don't see many fully guaranteed contracts. The only one that I've seen right now in this year's free agency is Hollywood Higgins from the Cleveland Browns. Shout out Hollywood, one of my favorite receivers. You didn't mention him, Jack. One of the best re-signings of the offseason.
You know, I missed that one.
Just a tiny bit of bias.
I love him. Fan favorite.
You know, so disappointed. We're running out of time here. Disappointed we didn't get to talk about my New York Jets. Maybe we'll touch on them in the second one.
We had a whole off season, Jack. Don't worry about it.
Didn't want to be too biased.
We're gonna deal with 6 months of.
They're gonna win more than two games. I'm telling you guys that. But that's gonna wrap up our episode. If you're watching or if you're listening to this, you know, please consider going down, leaving a 5-star review and subscribing to the podcast, downloading and sharing our episodes. We really appreciate it. Our website, our Twitter, our Instagram, our YouTube, all down in the description so you can find more content from us. Thank you guys so much for listening, though. We've been the Cold Hard Truth, and we will see you next time.